This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the, hey Marge, did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Running a growing business means getting the insights you need wherever you are. With Shopify's single dashboard, you can manage orders, shipping, and payments from anywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy.
iFanboy Pick of the Week Podcast, episode 23. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week Comic Book Podcast. iFanboy.com is a site where we read comics and talk about them. And every week, one of us... I like to just bring it down to the smallest possible...
just to the bare bones.
Just
details.
To really tell you as little as possible.
It's a website where we read comics. So. And we
three men comic book readers.
And three men in a comic
fire
book.
Fire bad.
We have some cavemen. Anyway, one of us will read a bunch of comics each week. We all will, and then one of us will pick one and write a review, and then we will come here to talk about it and invariably disagree about something, and piss off at least one person every week.
Guaranteed.
Guaranteed. And I like that. I like that a lot. Anyway,
that's controversial.
Lots of comics came out this week. I bought a lot of them, and I think Connor, I'm here with Ron, by the way.
Hey.
You heard him. I didn't introduce him. I'm bad like that at parties. And I'm Josh. Connor has the pick of the week.
No, I don't. Actually, Ron does.
Not so much.
Really?
Actually, it's mine. Yeah.
You know, we got one email that said something about our preparation being really good.
Yeah, that we just shot that to hell. Well, between me not reading Connor's pick of the week last week and you obviously not reading mine this week, we're not doing too well. But whatever.
But we're leaving it on here because we want you to see. We want you to see.
This is behind the curtain. You'll see. You know, this is how things really work.
All right. Sorry, Ron.
Anyways. Sorry, so it was my pick of the week, and
I
think the past couple of weeks, and Josh didn't even read the pick.
I did.
I know, joking. The past couple of weeks, we've at least Connor and I have been lamenting over just kind of mediocre, you know, books to pick from.
Right.
This week, luckily, bucked that trend, and I actually had a good handful of books to choose from. Before I ended up picking She-Hulk number 6. Which was probably surprising,
yeah.
Considering that. Yeah.
I can say that.
Considering that, when I got my books, I thought it was probably going to be either X-Factor number 5 or Daredevil 83 or New Avengers 17 or Amazing Spider-Man 530.
It would have been the easy pick to go with the Daredevil.
Yeah, it would have. And that, not to take anything away from the Daredevil, that was really good, except that it was just, with these Daredevil arcs, and we've kind of gotten spoiled with Bendis over the past 5 years or whatever, but I've come to... Every issue, and if Brubaker's going to keep it up, every issue is just going to knock you out of the park. But, you know, like, I kind of want to save my picks for, like, the big kind of climactic, you know, issue.
Right.
Or when something really knocks me off my chair. Now I've grown to expect the level of quality that was present in issue 83.
Although it was damn good.
Although, you know what the one thing about Daredevil 83, which I thought was
really
funny?
You know what? Let's get to it then.
Yeah, it was the fact that, I ended this book... like absolutely loving Ben Urich,
right?
Or Urich or whatever his name is, you know, the reporter. Like, and when was the last time? Like, he's a middle-aged reporter with a family, you know. And I'm like, yeah, Ben, yeah. I was like, so I don't know. I'm excited for that.
He's always been written like that in Daredevil books. Not so much in Spider-Man, but
Well, he's pretty much disappeared in the Spider-Man books.
But I think it's grown to a point of almost, you know, like he's gotten a lot more active in the past 2 years.
Well, Bendis has definitely brought him back as a character.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so
we'll talk about that later.
So Daredevil was good, New Avengers was good, Amazing Spider-Man, you know, if you're into the Civil War thing, you need to be pick up the last issue, and this issue is Amazing Spider-Man.
Do you really?
It's kind of, you don't have to, but I mean, it's laying the groundwork. And it was good. But, and actually some more development with the spider armor.
Well, I like that in New Avengers he was wearing the spider armor.
Well, yeah, and also he revealed that Tony gave him the version 2.0 of the spider armor, and now apparently it changes its look based off what he thinks, so he can make it look like his old costume, and in one frame he has it look like the black costume. But then he decides to stick with the yellow and gold for whatever reason.
Marketing.
But whatever, yeah. But I gotta admit, She-Hulk number 6, you know, knocked me off my chair.
I have to admit that I was online on the website when you posted it, so I refreshed the page and suddenly She-Hulk was there, and I went, what?
Huh? Well, now you got to understand that there's a couple of things at play in this. And like I explained in the pick of the week, back in the spring or the summer on some other podcasts, comic book podcasts with a very similar name to ours, I heard people talking about the She-Hulk, the previous run on She-Hulk that Dan Slott did for a miniseries or something like that, and said that was really, really good, and they were relaunching the book. And
is this,
you know,
the
so
podcast that says everything's good, though?
Yeah, unfortunately, but whatever. So I started, and as you know, I think I've mentioned it before. I've been picking it up since issue number one.
Well, you've
one.
Been talking about Don Slott, Dan Slott.
Yeah, Dan Slott, not Don Slott, not the baseball player.
Sorry.
Yeah, I've been talking about Dan Slott as somebody who's supposedly pretty good, and so I, you know, want to check it out. So I've been giving it a book, and I've given the book a chance, and I got to admit, up to issue 5, I was ready to drop it.
Really?
Because it was all right. I could see where it was kind of different, but it didn't really wasn't that unique, and they were still dealing with old storyline stuff and kind of like stuff I didn't know what was going on. But this issue, and then I think the last issue was the 100th issue extravaganza type thing,
right?
And where they resolved all those plot lines, and now this issue was really kind of just it could be said as a good jumping on point. The thing is that it's not, I mean, it's a superhero book in that, you know, She-Hulk's in it and she's a superhero, but it's not, because it's one of those playing with, okay, take a superhero and put them in an everyday situation, like the fact that she's a lawyer and she works at a law firm in New York City.
It's Harvey Birdman, really.
Yeah, and the law firm happens to represent superheroes, and now recently they started accepting supervillains, so there's a good dynamic there. So that's the kind of premise, and this particular issue deals with the case is Star Fox, who is a C-list Avenger from the 70s.
God, I did not expect to see him again.
And by the way, just on an aside, just because I picked the book does not mean that I endorse the cover. The cover is god awful. I mean, I understand there's a market for that photorealistic painting.
Ron hates
stuff.
That style.
Well, no, not that the thing is, I like Alex Ross. I like, there's even other people, but for some reason, this Greg Horn guy makes the, I mean, like, if you click on the cover on the site and it gives you the bigger version, or if you go to the comic store and look at it, Star Fox is the creepiest looking dude ever.
Isn't that the joke there, though?
He's supposed to be creepy, isn't he?
I'm looking at that.
No, I see
that as irony.
No, if you look at Greg Land's artwork, the men paint, like, he apparently paints chicks, really, you know, he paints chicks.
I think
isn't it
his wife that he uses for
yes.
all of them?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
He looks kind of like a Baldwin brother.
Yeah, it's just that he paints the creepiest looking men. It's just for some reason the face.
He's like that cocky Flash that Alex Ross does.
Yeah, I hate Alex Ross's Flash, by the way. just the way the mask kind of, like, it's too realistic, you know, like the way the cloth and the mask are. I don't like it anyway. But this Star Fox just creeps. Like I actually have to flip the book upside down so he's not staring at me. But
he's looking at you going, I got this one.
Yeah. Oh God, I hate it. But anyway, so the case in the book is that Star Fox's power is that he's very persuasive and that the ladies love him, and that, you know,
yeah.
that, I don't know if he actually has any powers.
How do you get on the Avengers like that?
Well, it was the 70s, you know.
He's like one of those cosmic guys, right? From
yeah,
Jupiter.
he's from
Titan.
Titan. He's actually Thanos' cousin or brother or something like that. Like he's related.
It was
to
patronage.
Yeah. Yeah, but But anyway, so apparently he's, you know, he's away with the ladies, and the book starts off with him leaving after sleeping with a chick, and she has no idea what happened, and then it leads right into him being walked out of the courtroom because she's suing him for sexual whatever, you know, like coercion.
I'm pretty sure that's
sexual
rape.
Assault. That's what she's saying. And this woman's married, has a family. But the interesting thing is that the legal aspect, the case aspect of it, is maybe in six pages of the book. The what's really happening in the book is all the there seems to be a great supporting cast between She-Hulk and her boyfriend, who happens to be John Jameson, and her.
He gets around that guy.
Didn't he just like rip up Avengers reception in Spider-Man? In Sensational Spider-Man, the one that I was reading, which will be the last one I was reading, I think I gave it a couple of issues to try. He like ran into Mary Jane and like caught her scent, followed her back to
Oh, because he's the werewolf, right?
And followed her back to Avengers Tower where she was going home, and like attacked and killed the guy at reception.
There's no mention of that in this issue. In fact, as far as I can tell, he's not the werewolf guy. She asks where he's been. And he says, "Test flying a new top secret plane. Got back as soon as I could, baby." he's the Hal Jordan of Marvel, as far as I can tell.
He's gone batshit in the other book.
Some serious editorial oversight.
Continuity. Anyway, whatever. So the two of them are dating, and then also I guess She-Hulk lives with her law partner, a guy who, as far as I can tell, is just named Pug, or his last name is Pugliese or some Italian name, and he's in love with her but hasn't told her, so there's a little love triangle there. And then there's another lawyer, Mallory Book, who apparently is in a wheelchair, and she's getting buddy-buddy with the two-gun kid.
Wait, there's a wheelchair lawyer in Daredevil.
Oh, yeah, how about
that? What the hell's going on?
I don't know. I don't think it's the same one, though. But
That's my new pitch to Marvel, wheelchair lawyer.
But anyway, what's interesting is that she's getting all flirty with the two-gun kid, who is back from the past because of the previous story arc, But what's great is that the love triangle there is between two-gun kid, Mallory Book, and Awesome Andy, previously known as the Awesome Android, which if you don't know anything about Marvel history, you will have no idea who this character is. But the fact that they're using him in the capacity that they're using him is absolutely hysterical. And I just want to talk about him for a second, because back when I was, early teens, when I was just getting into comics and I was absorbing everything I could, there was something called the official Handbook of the Marvel Universe.
Yes. Ron's favorite publication of all time.
Oh, my God. And what it was this great, like, I got this binder that was, like, black and had stars on it.
Oh, the three-ringed one.
The three-ring one, right? Yeah, I had that. And then you would buy these little packets with these little, like, not bigger than 3x5, but maybe 4x6 cards with a front and back drawing of each character and, like, all their information about them.
Front, back, side.
Front, back, side, yeah, which was great because it was, like, a packet of, like, 20 characters.
Yes.
And you would, like, be lucky if you got Wolverine or Cyclops or Captain America, but it would be packed with the
scrubs.
B, C, D, E, F list of Marvel.
The Wizard.
Including, and I'll never forget that I had the Awesome Android card, which and
the first.
What the Awesome Android is just basically he's, like, this android with, like, this concrete block for a head. And I forget who he worked for, who developed, maybe MODOK, or I'm going to pull it up. I put the link in the review on the site, so if you click on it.
Does he have a face now?
No, he doesn't have a face. The Awesome Android is a fictional robot in the Marvel Universe. First appearing in Fantastic Four number 15, he was created by the Mad Thinker to do his bidding, although he later gained sentience and reformed.
Wait, it's good that they said he was a fictional robot, because...
Yeah, no, well, this is from Wikipedia.
Might have been confusing.
But what's interesting is that he's like this gray, just kind of like bland, kind of thing. And he's reformed and gone good, but he doesn't have a mouth, so he can't speak. But he carries around a chalkboard on his neck, and that's where he draws. One of the things that's going on.
There's a frame up now from that issue on the Wikipedia page.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that was from the previous run. That's not from this issue.
It's from the last. Okay.
Yeah. But one of the things, this Mallory Book woman is in a wheelchair, and he's been secretly going to help her with her physical therapy, and in one shot, they're like, she's stretching, and his little chalkboard says, baby steps. And like when he's sad, he draws like an unhappy face, and then like he saw her flirting with Two Gun Kid, and he just drew a broken heart on his chalkboard. And it is just like it's so simple, but like it is hysterical. On one of these ones where he's ignoring her because he's mad at her because she was talking to Two Gun Kid, he on the chalkboard just says ho hum dot dot dot, and then says la la la, I can't hear you. And he's so, because he's so simple and childlike, and so of course, he's in love with her, but she can't love him because he's an android.
And he's got no mouth.
He's got no mouth, but it's just so funny because he has all these feelings, and they're just like, and like, honestly, it's the best thing of the book. But anyway, so the book is basically, I mean, in my review, I kind of compare it to Boston Legal on TV. It is set in the legal world. Yes, there are superheroes coming in and out, but it's about the relationships and the love triangles and the behind the scenes of that world. And like after this issue, like I'm totally hooked. I'm just like, this is. I mean, I laughed. It was, you know, like the law stuff is interesting. Like, you know, because can somebody from the moon of Jupiter even be tried? You know, like can he? Like why is, you know, like how does, you know, the DA in New York think they can, you know, try him, but they're doing it. So, but and it was really good. It just, you know, it was really, really good. So that's all I have to say.
You had a good time reading it.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it was probably the most fun I had reading of all the books this week.
Well, that was, so, you know, that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, and I honestly think the Awesome Android, they call him Awesome Andy, is the one that really put it over the top. So,
well then.
Yeah, so I strongly recommend it. I mean, if you got, you know, $3, you know, throw down any $3, pick up She-Hulk, you'll enjoy it.
Josh?
Okay. Well, there were a lot of other books to talk about. We sort of touched on Daredevil.
I thought it was good.
It was good.
Yeah, it was good.
Did you guys?
I still can't believe they killed Foggy.
Did you realize that was going to be happening? I read a spoiler somewhere that was like a funeral of a very close friend, and I was like, oh, I guess he was dead, because it wasn't clear at the end of the last book.
I listened to the Marvel pseudo podcast where they just put a mic at their little press, not the press conference one, but their meeting, their whatever they call it, the summit, and they're all giving Brubaker shit for killing Foggy. And it was before I read the issue, right. So I kind of knew it was coming. But the way they were talking about it, I thought they were just kidding around about killing Foggy, so I wasn't sure if they actually were going to go.
Well, if you see the cover, which obviously they would have submitted 3 months ahead of time, it's a take on the Elektra.
Right.
Which, thank God, you know. Which, you know, regardless of that, I mean, even though him dying happened in the last issue, so it's not really a spoiler. But thank God, it's a cover that has to do with the story.
Yeah.
Oh,
I have to say that anyway. I love the art on this. I love Lark.
God, don't you?
I think I like him more every time he draws something.
You know what?
I like Maliv better, but I fear change.
You know what's really nice, I find, is that when he draws, and it's not even Daredevil, but whoever it is that he's drawing in the costume of Daredevil,
mm-hmm.
like, it looks so good.
Yeah.
It just looks like a guy in a suit that's, you know, it's sort of silly, but it looks real. And, like, he's not hulking, and it's not skin tight, it looks like fabric. It just looks so cool, and he draws it so well. His anatomy is just really good.
I also think that they're doing a really good job of making Matt scary.
Yeah,
I'm genuinely terrified of what he's gonna do in prison now. You know, like you're reading, you're like, oh my god, he's gonna go nuts and kill everyone.
I can't believe they put him in Gen Pop.
That's the one part of the story that I can't quite like. There's without him being proven, like the only excuse that they've had as a story device for why this keeps happening is that everybody involved is an asshole. Really.
I mean, the government's out to get him. That's what
I know, but like the judge happens to be an asshole because any judge would say, "Well, there's, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty." So he's assumed to be blind because everybody says he's blind, and you wouldn't put him in Gen Pop. It just wouldn't be that right. Would be a punishment. It doesn't quite make sense. I understand, you know, for the story, but that is my little nagging problem with it.
My nagging problem is every time I see Matt's wife, I think, "Why is Yoko Ono there?" Oh wait,
it's awful.
She looks like Yoko. Anyway.
Oh, that's awful.
I also thought New Avengers was really good, too. Really good for some reason. I don't know why.
I didn't think it was... I thought it was good. I think it was really... I mean, part of me is kind of annoyed that they've made Ms. Marvel to be the loser. Like, it's like, oh, Ms. Marvel, no, don't, no. You know, like, it was just like, just listen.
Well, she didn't know any better.
I know, but I thought it was good. I thought it was good.
I enjoyed the story, I guess, but I really don't like this new artist.
Oh, really? I love this art.
Really?
Yeah.
Diodato? I had the same thought. Actually, a couple pages in, I stopped, and I'm like, who's doing this art? And
I've heard that name. I'm not terribly familiar.
He did
style.
Wonder Woman a couple of years back. Right. And he was on Spider-Man for a while.
The style in comparison to what we've been getting from Frank Cho to McNiven, who I really liked McNiven's stuff last time.
Well, he's doing Civil War.
Yeah, it's just this over-rendered thing where everybody's like uber bulky and muscly, and I'm not a fan of that.
On the title page with the summary in the credits, they spelled his name wrong. Mike Diodata.
I noticed that
he's an android. Diodato.
Yeah, but I did like the opening shot. It was the
but like
Avengers.
When you when you come into the sort of the first page where you have Captain America standing there, like, he's way too jacked and weird and big looking, and I don't know. And then this, and I got to tell you, this is the first time I've dealt with the spider armor, and I'm not a fan of it still because it just looks weird.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good he's wearing it. At least they're trying to keep that continuity.
Yeah, I guess.
But Captain America was really good too, and X-Factor was okay. I think in general this week kicked DC's ass. Marvel did.
Yeah. Did you?
Yeah, it was a big Marvel week.
Did you read the very strange intro on the first page of X-Factor?
Yes.
It's almost like they forgot something, or they had to put in, like, they described all the stuff that happened, but we didn't show it to you anyway. It was just a weird little thing. X-Factor was weird this week because it had nothing to do with the story that's been going on.
Yeah, because the whole thing with Sook leaving the book, and I guess this might have been a fill-in issue because Sook was behind, uh-huh. or who knows, but yeah, the X-Factor really disappointed me, actually.
I didn't mind the art. I liked the art just fine.
Yeah, the art was good. But, although they were a little overly gimmicky in the beginning with the Jimmy Dean, the whole James Dean motif was too much.
Yeah, I didn't notice that when I first read it until you pointed it out. But I noticed, like, the first page is that famous diner photo, and
yeah, which just made me groan.
But it's also the second page, the second panel is a famous James Dean photograph.
Oh God.
Yeah, that's not really necessary, is it?
They use that panel all the time, the diner photo in comics. It's always
So it's a hopper, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I'm pretty sure. It's
but
a
I
hopper.
Just wanted to mention briefly that I bought the Runaways trade.
Oh, how did you think?
Which
volume 5, the Cloak and Dagger story?
Oh,
which I actually liked. I know you guys said it wasn't that good, but I think maybe it reads better all in one.
It's possible.
Possibly. I mean, it didn't really. I mean, it just seemed very. That's after the Excelsior one, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it just seemed very. I mean, I don't know those two first arcs in the new series really just disappointed, because like the Excelsior thing was a great idea and it just went nowhere, and then they get pulled out of and go to New York for the Cloak and Dagger.
It wasn't great, as great as the first two story, first year, I guess it would be, but I mean, I liked it.
The first season, as they want you to refer to it now.
Right.
I do want something very heavy to fall on Gertrude, but other than that,
yeah, well, what
are
you
going to
do?
I just wanted to mention that because we had some Runaways talk recently.
The last one was good, so when they start up the new one, you're probably going to be in good shape. There was a one-shot with the little girl that was like, meh.
I like the little girl.
Yeah, but in the context
of everybody.
Yeah, but
it was meh. This one,
I think,
big time meh. Von writes
M-E-H.
M-E-H, exactly.
He writes teenage interaction really well. He's just too. He's way behind in the slang.
Well, then when you read the one with that we talked about last week with the MMO jokes, then they'll probably redeem himself.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, but if we were like really hardcore gamers, we'd be like, this is so not Lee.
Whatever.
DeConnor, did you finish up Loveless?
Ugh, what happened?
I don't know. I want you to know that this is exactly what it feels like to have been reading 100 Bullets.
It was the final issue of this 5-issue miniseries. It didn't resolve anything. It ended on like a cliffhanger or a
God knows. I was getting like
I'm not even sure how it ended.
I'm getting near the end of the book, and I'm like, there's not many pages left. There's not many pages left. And then the end, I mean, when I say the end, I really just mean it was the last page.
Right.
And it showed up, and so the mystery of the whole thing was not revealed, and it appears that the wife, who may or may not be dead, is alive.
Maybe.
I was going to give this book a recommendation for a long time. Don't buy it.
Yeah.
If you're out there and you're looking at the trade and you're like, hey, the Sci-Fanboy guy's kind of like, it's really nice looking, it's got nice tone.
It's got great art.
Marcelo Frusen did. He was on Hellblazer for a long, long time.
Yeah, the art's awesome, but don't buy it if you don't like having headaches.
Because it's literally the most confusing comic I've ever read. And that's how I feel every time I read Brian Azzarello. And for a long time, I was a little bit like self-loathing. I was like, it must be me. I must not get it.
No, it's not you.
It's not me. Anyway, so there's that. There's a negative review. I've also reading, just from in the Vertigo world, I bought a bunch of Vertigo books this week. I was reading Testament, which was like a mini, I guess, I don't know, I think it's like a maxi series, by Douglas Rushkoff, who's like a novelist and a journalist and all sorts of things. It's not good. I'm on issue 4. The cover here says "Impossible to Put Down," chock full of cool, forward-looking ideas, grade A from Variety.com. And really, what it is when I'm reading this is I'm reading a person who doesn't know how to write for comics. He doesn't know if I don't know if it's the artist or his scripts, but like things are confusing, and he's trying to do things that you could do in a movie, but you can't do in comics because it doesn't follow. The storytelling doesn't work. They're big, huge ideas that are kind of interesting.
Vertigo's kind of in a slump, isn't it?
No. I mean, Hellblazer's...
No, what are you, crazy? Vertigo, no!
Hellblazer's got a good new writer. I've been enjoying that. They're sort of reworking John. It's hard to talk about with you guys if you don't read any of it. What's the other one that I've been reading? I mean, Why the Last Man has still been good as ever. There's one other book that was going on that's real good. Oh, American Virgin, which is by Steve Siegel.
Is that good?
It was pretty good.
I've been burned too many times by mediocre Steve Siegel books. I was going to buy it, and I decided not to.
Well,
do you remember the Steve Siegel fad? That was fun.
They knew it, and they put in like a preview into a couple of the books where you could read like 5 or 6 pages of it. And because it was good. And you know who the artist is? It's Becky Cloonan from.
Oh, like her?
Yeah, from Demo. And so that was enough, those two things. And maybe, but it was pretty good. I would recommend give it a shot.
What would you say the flagship book for Vertigo is right now?
Right now it's Why. I mean, Why is the book that anybody can read.
Right.
I've heard, I haven't been reading it, but like, you know, the Swamp Thing books are supposed to be pretty good, but I haven't read the new series of them. The old ones are great. I mean, I bet they get by on selling old Alan Moore trades.
Sure.
Which is his big problem with it, because they were supposed to give him the rights to everything once they went on a print, but then, of course, they never went on a print, so he got snookered, as it were.
Anybody buy any 1 year later books?
I just bought Green Arrow from last week, so.
Well, it was Batman, the part 2 of that story came out.
Oh, Batman was sold out.
I have a problem. I missed Robin, which is one of the ones I was looking forward to the most, and I'm really upset about it.
Speaking of Robin, just to finish up another thought, I think Fables is a pretty big book for Vertigo right now. Same writer, I think.
Mm. Or it was the same writer, yeah.
I like
it. I couldn't get comics till Friday, and I went to not my normal store, and it was sold out. Then I went to longtime podcast listeners will recognize. I went to Comics Collect Tables.
Oh, you went to Collect Tables?
this is like our Paul the Party Animal Parker.
Yeah. Which, to their credit, was spelled correctly on their sign.
That's good.
Incorrectly on the comic books store locator, whatever that website is.
Oh, that's like seeing behind the curtain. I didn't want to know that. Why'd you tell me that?
It's not their fault.
Talk about a store I'm never going to set foot in again. It was.
Did it smell? It smelled, didn't it?
I don't know if it smelled so much as it was one of those stereotypical Marvel stores where I couldn't find any DC books. It was overflowing with Marvel and toys.
That seems to be like Brooklyn is like a big Marvel store center.
I think all those little stores are like that.
It must be Claremont.
They didn't have it either, but they barely had any DC books to begin with, so I didn't get Robin. I'm very upset about that. If I don't get a copy of it, I'm gonna go on a rampage.
Rampage. Alright, anything else in the world of comics this week?
I happened to finally get to my extras for the Batman Begins DVD. And this was because, long story short, my wife picked up a copy of the Batman 1989 movie for me, and we watched it, and it was fun. And I thought, well, I got to watch the extras on that. And so as you go through what are arguably the worst navigational menus ever.
Oh, they're awful.
On Batman Begins?
Oh, it's
so bad. The second disc, it's awful.
I get the idea. You're supposed to go through them like it's a comic book.
Right, but they didn't make it clear as to what you need to click.
Yeah,
like it's a picture of Batman, like, you know, the scene when he's breaking into the apartment, but when Scarecrow gets to him,
it's like a shot from that,
and you just have to move the cursor around until you see something light up, and then click that.
Nice.
It's like it's so unintuitive; it's not even funny. So,
and you get through it, and you know, they talk. It's pretty interesting. The little bits are interesting. I wish they just put them into one thing. You could hit play,
play all.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
Best thing ever.
You get through to the part where they're talking about the comic book. And I think – and I, the way that I read it, it looked like it was going to be about, you know, the history of the Batman comic book and whatever, and you'd be kind of interesting. And they get an interview with pocket-sized Jim Lee. I say that because if you've ever seen him, he's so small he can fit in your pocket. He's a small – oh, no laugh like you've never said it.
I've written it.
I believe it. I've seen him actually get out of someone's pocket.
I felt like I was hung out to dry there. No. Anyway, they basically...
It's like a six-year joke, though. I mean, for everyone else, it might be really funny, but for me, I'm like, yeah, it's pocket-sized... Like, it's not... I don't even... Like, it's not a joke anymore. It's just it's pocket-sized Jim
Lee. It's his name.
Yeah, exactly. But, so, anyway, okay,
Jim Lee is talking about his... About the upcoming... Because that's what's coming out at the time. It was the All-Star Batman Robin sort of thing. And basically, it's an ad then for the Frank Miller and Jim Lee All-Star Batman and Robin thing, which when they're talking about it in this context, they were talking about it like it was going to be the next – they were referring to it as, you know, the next in line of Batman Year One, you know, Dark Knight Returns.
That didn't go as planned.
Immediately skipped to Dark Knight Strikes Again. They didn't even mention it.
Oh, jeez.
And they talked about it, and they were saying how Jim Lee – really was the first person to bring anything to the character of Batman with the Hush storyline in a long time. And I took so much offense with that. And I guess it's just marketing or whatever. But it was so short-sighted in that it's this Batman DVD that's going to be around for a long time and people are going to watch it and whatever. And they're hawking whatever book was going to come out that week that the DVD came out. And it was just the cheesiest thing. And what they should have done was, you know, hawk the Batman history, the comics, the, yeah, you know, read the... you know, greatest Batman stories ever told, or Dark Knight Returns, or whatever like that. But that was so lame.
I wonder what Rucka and the other Brubaker and those types when they saw it, they're like, what? Huh?
I know. I mean,
mine doesn't matter.
Greg Rucka's detective was amazing for a long, long time, and the whole Cataclysm and Aftershock and all that stuff.
That was great.
It was great. Huh. It changed all sorts of stuff. It ushered in great stories that went on for years. I mean, it was a big, real deal, and it was significant, and it was just completely ignored by it. So,
you know what? That reminds me of the extras on the Ultimate Avengers movie. There's a documentary on the comics, but it's mostly just how great is George Perez documentary. as told by George Perez.
Nice. And,
I mean, it's really interesting. I only watched about half of it because I couldn't take it anymore. But it was like they interviewed Kurt Busiek and George Perez and people at Marvel, Tom Brevoort, but it was really just George Perez recounting his vast influence in the world of the Avengers. Not that he doesn't deserve to be praised for it, but it was just funny the way it was presented. But
right.
Those comic book documentaries can be so strange.
Have there been any good ones? I'm trying to think if the Spider-Man one had any stuff on it. I mean, at least they have Stan Lee talking for them, and that's always interesting for at least a little bit.
I mean, they've always been. I've yet to see a comic book movie where I'm like, you've got to see the extras. You know what I mean? Like, it's yet to be that sort of that they haven't tapped in on that yet. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I haven't made it through all the way through the Batman Begins ones yet. So
there's the Batman and Robin commentary.
Yeah, which is classic. Yes, but
yeah. I gotta say we watched Batman 89. As I'll refer to it from now on. I guess I could just say Batman, but there's also Batman 66. So,
Burton Batman.
I haven't watched it in years.
Neither have I, but I saw it too when I bought the movie.
I knew every single line. Yeah. Like, it was like one of those things where I'm mouthing it as it's going out. I'm like, God, this must have made an impact on me. I was shocked.
Well, we were like 12 when it came out.
Yeah, no. And how many times did we see it in the theater?
8 or 9.
Three the first weekend.
Yeah. So, Kristen and I were reminiscing on the Prince songs the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Bat
Dance.
Yep.
I,
so good.
Which is on the DVD, by the way, the video for that.
Oh, nice.
And I was trying to describe, sort of, I was like, this Joker's really good.
But he's not scary.
Well, you know what? Upon really watching it again, he's pretty scary and he's really good. It's something's not quite right.
Yeah.
It
might just be the myth of Jack is too much, even for the Joker.
It might be, I mean, but it was a brilliant bit of casting. I think, basically, if he was younger,
yeah.
It would have taken...
Yeah, I always thought he was a little too old, but, yeah. To be honest with you, the young Jack Napier in that movie creeped me out a lot more than him as the Joker
did.
That guy was creepy. And my favorite moment of that movie is when he steps off the float and he just goes, Bob, go. She's Bob. It's just like, little touches like that, just classic.
My favorite moment in that movie has been and will always be when he's trying to tell her he's Batman, right before Joker knocks on the door.
Yeah.
And he's you know how... And it's really just Michael Keaton that I like. It has nothing to do with Batman at that point.
Just...
Guys, a job and a breakfast. Anyway, Ron, let's get to that mail.
All right, listener mail. We got two emails this week that were worth mentioning. Anyway, so we got an email from Raphael from Berwyn, Illinois. And he basically, you know, he listens to the podcast, as you all do, and actually listens to it on his way to work, which is interesting. We're always curious as to where people listen to us, and it seems a lot of you are listening to us on your way to work or school. So, you know, what is Howard Stern's loss is our gain, I guess. So basically he's looking for some recommendations for books for subscriptions to. He really has no clue as to where to put his money to. He usually buys trades and hardcovers, and mainly DC and Marvel, but he's hoping to actually start getting current by buying some subscriptions and don't know what books to bring the bang for his buck. He likes Bendis, Millar, Geoff Johns, Mark Waid, Greg Rucka, and he's thinking about picking up Daredevil, Ultimate Spider-Man, and/or X-Men, and he doesn't know which Batman or Superman book would be good, and asking whether New Avengers or Fantastic Four or Ultimates or Green Lantern, if they're worth it. So he's looking for our subscription. So let's put up a little more of a frame of reference. If you had to pick five books to subscribe to on a monthly basis, what five books would you guys get?
Oh God.
Well, because he didn't tell us how much money he's looking for, and he said in parentheses, and I'm not sure why. No, I'm not rich, Connor.
Hey,
I don't know why.
I'm not rich either.
Rich people.
I know. Connor's our blue collar eye fanboy. He just damn you, rich people. Here I am in Park Slope, Brooklyn, looking down on you.
All right.
Anyway,
great. Now they know where he lives.
So five books monthly. What books would you pick up?
From the Marvel DC.
Here's what you have to take into consideration, though. If you come in from a straight issue daily or monthly issue thing, it's got to be a place where you can pick up the book and read it. This is you no good to pick up something that's so mired in continuity, or at least it has to be.
Yes and no. I mean, to wit, per the Lost podcast number 19, which just recently came out, you could probably pick up Astonishing X-Men and not have to worry about this past 40 years of X-Men continuity.
Yes,
that would make it a good candidate for. I don't mean 40 years. I mean recent. Like I think that if you were to pick up X-Factor right now, it's a fine book, but.
Right, but you could also go back and find the back issues, probably.
Right, so things that you could start good with. So start.
Daredevil from the last issue, from 82.
Yeah, Daredevil from 82 on. Daredevil, definitely.
New Avengers from
16 or 17, you could go
from. Well, or pick up the first two trades and then pick it up.
But it's still relatively new where you can get those issues. Those two
second
books.
Trade's not out yet. And
well, he said he buys hardcovers, and that's out on hardcovers.
Those two books. Well, the Superman books are acting like the Batman books in that they're being the initial storyline are running over both books. So,
but is this Batman a good jumping on point?
Yes. If you like Batman, Superman, I would say that Batman and Detective and Superman and Action Comics are both good jumping on points.
Okay,
they're a good place to start.
I would say to stay away. I don't know anything about Fantastic Four because that book never means anything to me. I would say to stay away from Ultimates only because while it's good, it comes out too rarely and there's no to Josh's
well,
point. There's no
all of the point. Ultimate books are too mired in their own continuity.
Well, no, but I'm just talking specifically about the Ultimates. Right. I would say you could pick up Ultimate Spider-Man, and if you know comics and just have a
That's
general
true.
Idea about
That's
Spider-Man,
true.
Pick it up at any point. It's preferably to pick it up at the beginning of an arc.
There's a recap.
That's true.
Ultimate Spider-Man, I would stay away from Ultimate X-Men only because it's not worth it to deal with the past 60 issues of continuity to that regard. It hasn't been that great. And Green Lantern, we know. Sharkman, not good.
I heard it was getting good again.
It has been
good. Are either one of you going to pick up when it comes out for the 1 year later?
Yeah,
I think I might give it another look.
And if Josh doesn't, then he needs laser surgery.
No, who's doing it?
It's still Johns and Van Sciver. The team hasn't changed.
All right, I'll try the 1 year later one.
I'm going to try that one.
I'm also going to read Ion.
Yeah, you are, okay.
Good luck with that.
I like Ron Mars on Kyle a lot.
Yeah, I do like Ron Mars on Kyle.
It's not a Marvel DC, but Invincible, obviously.
Yeah, Invincible. I don't know about the jumping on point, but Invincible is our stock recommendation.
Yeah, I don't know how the issues go.
And this
I've
is not a good time to talk about the mystery of the latest Invincible trade, but...
It's okay. It's on Amazon now, but the cover has no like title on it. It's just the art, and it says it will be available in 3 to 6 weeks. But it says it's been available since the beginning of February. I've never seen it in a comic shop. I don't understand.
Who knows? Somebody from Image, get back in touch with us.
I would say Astonishing X-Men only if it came out regularly, but it doesn't. So it's
Well, now that they're back on the season, I think don't get me started on that. It is bi-monthly, which pisses me off. If you're going to do an ongoing, do it monthly, but whatever. Let's move on. So Raphael, there's some good recommendations for you.
That doesn't work though, because Strangers in Paradise has never been monthly and you've been fine.
But we're not talking indie, we're talking superhero.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Anyway, Raphael, let us know which ones you pick, which ones you settle on. We have a second email from Steve, who he actually had a request that we're going to address in a later podcast, which we'll tease that for you. So stay tuned for Steve's request in a later podcast.
Well, just give a teaser what the request is.
His request was he wanted to know a little bit. He wanted to see behind the curtain of the iFanboy podcast
Quickly coming up with a cliche of that term.
Yeah, I know. who we are, where we're from, why we do this, etc. So we're not going to bog it down with the 23rd podcast, but on our grand 25th podcast episode, you'll get a lot more information about us because we're your heroes.
Our quarter centennial podcast.
Exactly. But his specific question that we are going to address is, what do we think of Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane and Mary Jane Homecoming and the other Mary Jane books? He says he bought the first one for his daughter, then he got hooked. Even some of the hardcore guys who work at his comic shops, Liberty Books and Comics in College Park, Maryland, plug, are hooked.
By the way, it's a hilarious idea. What are hardcore comics guys? There's like two images that flash through my mind. One is a very skinny person. One is a very huge person that looks like Glenn Danzig. I don't know.
We all won 38. Anyway, personally, I've never read any of the Mary Jane books, so I'm out.
Josh?
Well, I didn't even know there were any.
Connor?
I bought, this is similar to his email, I bought the Mary Jane books for my sister. She liked them, and I read them and liked them too, so I've been, but only in trade form. I haven't been buying them in issue form. So.
But you approve.
Yeah, they're good. I mean, it's more of a relationship book. Spider-Man doesn't really appear in them. It's more of Mary Jane and her problems. And
hot.
And it's sort of done in manga style.
Which art. Mary Jane?
It's almost completely new Mary Jane.
Is it
honest.
A teenage?
It's a
Teenage Mary Jane, teenage Spider-Man, but it's not Ultimates. It's
So it's back in the '60s, but not.
No. It's now. Yeah. It's now.
Yeah.
It's teenage Mary Jane now. It's good. It's almost you could totally remove Spider-Man almost from the book.
My head just hurt.
More like high school tales than anything else. It's great.
iFanboy approved, Steve.
So gonna buy that book.
Keep on reading it. No, actually, I'm not.
You won't say anything, but you'll have a little stash of them. That you read and be like, will she or won't she?
No. Anyway, I like Gwen better. So I like if
she's not in. She's not in the book.
Yeah, I like
this is a character.
Anyway.
This is a character who was killed off nearly 40 years ago, and he's still going. I like her better. Get it? I'm never gonna like this Mary Jane.
She wasn't even around in your lifetime.
You're like an Alan Scott apologist. Hal Jordan's a punk.
He's no Alan Scott.
Oh, jeez.
So, anyway, so that's it for our listener email. If you have a question or want to ask what we think of something or want to plug your comic shop or whatever, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com, and that goes to all three of us, and we scrutinize and read every email. And
you know what I think we should do? We should think about having is a show where we
just questions.
Just questions. So if people can send in every kind of stupid question they've got, we can answer it. And
well, folks, there's a challenge.
If we can stockpile a bunch of questions enough to answer, and like,
we will do an all listener email episode.
Yeah.
So there you
Send
go.
Them in. Nope.
Good idea, Connor. Nope. See, that's just how decisions happen at iFanboy.
Nope.
Just on
no
the fly.
No one consulted me.
Josh actually hates the question.
We had a quorum.
And, 2 out of 3 overruled.
You ambushed me in the Senate chamber. I didn't know this was coming.
So speaking of the Senate chamber, Connor, how are we doing on the Flickr?
Flickr. That's not our
Flickr, Frapper, all these damn Web 2.0 things, they're driving me crazy.
Frapper map Frapper has map. Been vexing me since about Tuesday when we hit 97.
Shocking.
And every day since then I would check it and I would go, damn it!
Why would you go damn it?
Because we've got nobody since then and we're at 97.
So we are 3 away from 100 Frapper-ites.
There was a remarkable surge.
There was.
Yeah, it took us from the early 80s right into the late 90s, and we were like, ooh, ooh, and then nothing.
And then it stopped dead on Tuesday or somewhere around there. But
so we got to throw down the gauntlet. Whoever is the 100th Frapper person will get something. I don't know what that will be, but there's a challenge. You only need, there's only three more slots, but number 100, you will get something. And be sure to email us at contact@ifanboy.com saying, hey, I was the 100th person.
And it's got to be a real one.
And we can check that.
Yeah, we can.
I don't want the third Patrick on there.
Yeah.
Number 97 was Josh Schweigert in Libertyville, Illinois, and he thinks Spider-Man rules. So...
we got another Canadian pin from Riley.
Yeah, from Saskatchewan.
Which has been abbreviated to be Sask.
Maybe that's what they call it.
It's their new thing. It's like Las Vegas has what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. They have come to Sask.
And we got Ian from Ontario. That's two more Canadian pins.
Yeah. So it was a good week for Frapper, but we just need to get to that 100 so we can be a legitimate Frapper podcast people.
It would make my day go a lot easier. I don't need the extra added stress.
Seriously, I talked to Connor nonstop throughout the day, and it like literally is the make or break between a good or bad day for this kid. You know, you get a Frapper pin. I mean, seriously, it's just like nobody else on the Frapper map, and I got to talk him down from the ledge on the 73rd floor.
And I don't
say, Connor, it's okay.
I don't want you to think that he has nothing else going on. He does. He has other things going on, but he's fixated on this.
Yeah, this is just a nice little thing. And additionally, if you look in iTunes, we've got 6 great comments for us, and currently we are ranked at 4.5 stars in iTunes, and we'd really like to be a 5-star podcast, folks. So if you have the time...
What do you need from us to make a 5-star podcast?
We want it to be an honest, you know, star type thing, but go in iTunes, you can leave a comment, it's really easy. You know, there's 6 people have left comments, and we know several hundred other people have not. So if you could go in and just drop us some love, you know, we drop you weekly love. Just give us 5 minutes.
And spread the word to your friends.
Yeah.
Because we have been growing steadily.
And we would be featured on their iTunes page.
Yeah, that's
like
our goal.
Like another similarly tuned podcast, similarly named.
Yeah. Ultimately, we're just trying to make the iTunes homepage. We don't know exactly how to do it, so we're just trying to do anything that we can. So help us, please.
Help us help
you. Help us help you. So that said, I'm out of steam. How about you guys?
The speed is wearing off.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.